Boy, that was awesome. You did a great job on that song, Brian. Amen. You really did good. You shouldn't have waited so long to sing. We just can't thank Brian enough and Jenny for their ministry. A lot of you probably don't know, but you know, Brian, he's been coming up here for years. Gets up here 7:30, 7:45 in the morning and stays all day. And he was working on the audio. He's the one behind recording. I still got a little ring, Bradley. He was behind putting the sermons on audio and on the internet, and people around the world were listening to them. And then eventually the video, and then what we see up on the screen, just to give us, help us when our right side of our brain there, and a little bit of a visual learning exercise that we can have in addition to what we hear, just to try to do everything we can to help it resonate, whatever the message from the Lord is for you. And so he's been doing this for years. And but little did I know, August 17th, that pivot was for Brian and Jenny to serve the Lord in another place. But we rejoice. We're sad that we won't see them every Sunday, but we rejoice that they're following God's will, and our prayers are going to be with them in the next place, next adventure that God has for them. So we're just very thankful. I knew my time was going to be limited this morning, so I just wanted to get off of what we've been doing through Hebrews and faith, and just talk for a few minutes to give you a few thoughts about prayer. And so I just kind of came up with this, the three W's of prayer. I hope that, you know, as I give you these words, it's not just three words and your life doesn't change. You know, the hope of a teacher is that the listeners will take to heart what is said, and it will actually change their life. Their life will be different. I was thinking, I didn't even know Brian was going to bring up the bell curve that we did August 17th. And that bell curve, remember, was for every church. Represents the birth and can represent the death of every church. And so the church is somewhere on that bell curve. And churches that are our age, of course, we spoke about, are usually somewhere here if they're not already all the way down here. And so we kind of guesstimated we were somewhere around here. And so that's when we spoke about making that pivot. I think, looking back in retrospect, one of the major reasons that I got involved in the D-Men program was to make a pivot in my life. And one of the aspects of the D-Men program is we have to develop what we call a learning covenant. A learning covenant is a covenant of activity that is not just thinking part, but it's also in a skills aspect, and then also in a feeling, in an attitude change. So you're kind of hitting all three bases on whatever activity that you deem for yourself that you need to accomplish, and actually these are many activities, over the tenure of your program that are in addition to everything they dump on you for the rest of the D-Man program. And as I got to thinking about my learning covenant, one of the aspects I wanted to change, I wanted to see a pivot in, is my prayer life. You see, actually, this bell curve here could also represent a Christian's prayer life. This would be the birth, and this could represent the death. If you're a brand new Christian, you're probably somewhere right in here on the bell curve. But what if you've been a Christian for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60. That's probably, no, maybe about 80, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, we probably got some 80s. Yeah. What if you've been a Christian that long? Where would you be on the bell curve? Where would your prayer life be on the bell curve? Where is your prayer life on the bell curve? Is it here? Is it here? Is it here? Is it slipping down here? And so you may be over here on this right-hand side somewhere, and maybe you're like me. You need some improvement in your prayer life. You need to make a pivot. And so that was one of the activities I've been involved in the last several months. And that's why... that's why I got my mouse up here. I'm still trying to get a little faster up here. That I introduced to you a link on the website for a prayer journal. So if you go to our home site, you can click on this prayer journal right here on this tab, or you could go to media here and also click on it that way. Now, some of you don't use the internet. You're not savvy with that, and that's okay. And that's why I would encourage you to see Penny from time to time and get her to print out the latest prayer journal for you. Because when you're praying, you're developing your prayer life. It is not something that is just set in stone from now until the day you die and you go home. It's always changing. Your prayers are changing. Your life is changing. The people you're interacting with, changing. Your understanding, your theology is changing. The study of God doesn't change, but your understanding of that study of God changes as you're growing in the Lord and understanding more about who God is in your life. And so this is what I work through. This is what is helping me to make this pivot. And I'm just telling you, it's helped me a lot. And what I'm thinking is, if it's helped me, it might help you. I needed some structure in my prayer life. And so I go to this prayer journal. And one of the things, if you go there, you'll note that it says we're not just working on a bunch of principles and requests and 3 points like we have today, 3 W's. We are interacting with a person, a living person, the person of Jesus Christ. We have access through him to God the Father, who sits on the throne. And so God is very, very interested in you having a conversation with him, in you having communion with him, and you bringing your petitions, requests, your thanksgiving, but even most importantly, your worship, your praise. So in my prayer journal, and I'm updating this thing almost weekly, I've got here Our Father. The Lord teaches how to pray. And so Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be your name. That's where I'll start out. And so I have just pages and pages here, because you might go, well, how do I? Okay, so once I say that, what do I do then? Well, that's why I have pages of the names of God written down and their meanings. So our first W is going to be I'm still trying to get a little faster here, thinking about what I'm doing. Our first W would be worship. Okay? And I'm going to run out of time here pretty quick, so I'm just going to try to get some thinking in about that. So I'm going to give you this. We also have a walk before the Lord, and then we also have warfare. And I'm taking all this from Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible says we are seated with Christ, we walk with Christ, and then we are to stand with the Lord. This standing represents resisting the enemy. There's the warfare. This walking, the Bible tells us we are to walk in love, we are to walk in humility, we are to walk in the light, and we are to walk in wisdom in the book of Ephesians. And this is speaking about sanctification. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ. This is speaking about our position, which is justification. Since we are justified, we can now walk with God in sanctification. As we walk with God, as He sanctifies our everyday walk, we are prepared to stand and resist against the enemy. For example, there are three things that I am praying for our church. I'm praying that we'll fear the Lord. I'm praying that we'll have, each of us, a healthy fear for God. I am praying that we will be a humble church, that we won't be a church full of pride. And I'm praying that we'll be a giving church. And as we are walking in that kind of atmosphere, we'll be prepared to resist all the plots and the lies of the enemy, because he is his attack on the church and our church and on you is relentless. And we are called upon by the Lord in prayer to resist his attacks. Well, there's a lot of Christians and they've just gone AWOL. They're not doing that. They're not active in that resistance. A lot of times they're not active because they're really not working on their sanctification. They're not working on the walk part. What's helped me in my walk part is this part right here. This is where I'm growing in my prayer life. I've made a pit of it. In Ephesians chapter 2, we still don't have time to work through all this like I'd planned. We'll have plenty of time in the future to do it. So I'm just going to give you some highlights, some thoughts. In Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says that we are seated with Christ. Where? Where do you think? Do you know where you're seated with Him? Well, where's Christ? He's in the heavenlies. We are seated with Christ in the heavenlies. For many Christians, they wander in their prayer life. They start praying and then they just go off to their things to do list. They get distracted. They get bored. They go, "What do I do now? What do I say now?" They become impatient. They just can't hang in there very long. You know, God gave us an imagination. That imagination helped Thomas Edison do what he did. It helped Henry Ford do what he did. God gave us an imagination so that we can picture things in our minds. Unfortunately, the devil provides bad pictures for people. So there's always another side to the coin in the world that we live. But God provided that imagination for you to have a good picture in your mind. In chapter 1 of Ephesians, before we get to this place in chapter 2, it speaks about us being in Christ over and over and over and over again. In other words, Christ is in you and you're here on the earth. But where are you? In John 14:20, you are in Christ. And where is Christ? He's in heaven. And Christ is in the Father. So not only is Christ in you here on the earth, you are present tense, in your spirit, in your inner man, in Christ in heaven. Where is Christ? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. You know, now think about this with me. In Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5, God gives us a graphic picture of what? Heaven. Particularly in those two chapters, and then in chapter 21 as well, the throne room of God. Where are you seated in Christ in your inner man? Present tense, in your spirit, because you're tied to Christ. You're seated with Him. Your position is there with Christ in the throne room before the Father. The Bible says that the saints of God in the throne room hold these bowls full of incense. You remember what the incense represents? It represents the prayers of the saints on the earth. That's you. That's me. So let me just tell you what I do. I use the imagination that God gave me. And let me tell you, when I start my prayer time, I go to the throne room. I actually don't have to go there. I am there. I just become cognizant of where my inner man already is, my spirit in Christ. And I have a picture of what the throne room looks like because of Scripture, because of what God's already told us. And when I'm in this place, I'm cognizant of being in this place, I'm face down. And the Father is sitting on His throne. And the Lamb of God, who was slain before the foundation of the world, as spoken about in chapter 4 and chapter 5 of the book of Revelation, who has the nail prints in His hands and His feet, He's there. He's the only one worthy to take the scroll, the only one there to redeem me. I know that the only reason that I'm there is because God has made it so. Because He's given me a robe of righteousness and a garment of salvation. He has taken away all my sins. Why? Because the Lamb of God was worthy. He was able to do that. And so I'm face down, and what am I doing there? Well, what's everybody else doing there in Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5? Wow. They are worshiping God. The 24 elders are there. They represent the church. The four creatures are there. They are worshiping God all the time. It just never stops. The angels are there, 10,000s upon 10,000s, Revelation tells us. And they are all praising God, along with all the saints and all the Old Testament saints. They're all there. The Bible speaks about this place, and there is a rainbow, an arc of a rainbow that goes over the throne of God. There is a sea of glass. There is lightning. There is thunder. Isaiah said that the train of our Father's robe fills the throne room, and there is smoke. This is an incredible place, and this is a place where the saints are holding these bowls that have incense that represent my prayers. Since I made this pivot, I began to understand that every single prayer that I pray to the Father, He hears it. Not one goes beyond Him or beyond His notice. Not one single prayer. It's like, how many prayers can I get in there? How many can I squeeze in, man? I got to get in there as much as I can. But I hadn't got to the petition part. I'm still on the worship part, I'm telling you. You can spend a lot of time as you're cognizant of being in that place. Because it's not just me. You're in that place. In your spirit. Because you're in Christ. And Christ is there. You see, He raised you up with Him. That's why you're there. And so I start taking those names on that prayer sheet. And I start addressing God the Father with those names. And God the Son. And I start calling them out. Let's see here. Gotta get better here. Here we go. That's why I brought that up here. There we go. Now let's just. Here we go. So I'm there. My face is down. The Lord rules. You rule, Lord, and you reign from your throne in heaven. Your train fills the temple. I'm talking to God. Holy, holy, holy are you. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You are Adonai, my master, Yahweh, the God who's made covenant with me. You are Jehovah Jireh. You have provided for me. You are Jehovah Rapha. You are my healer. You are the bread of life. You are the light of the world. You're the door. You're the good shepherd. You're the way, the truth, the life. You're the vine. You're the resurrection. You're the life. You're the great eternal high priest, as the author of the book of Hebrews says. You're the King of kings. You're the Lord of lords, and you are my friend. You are God Almighty. You are the I Am. You are my advocate. You are my Elohim. The Bible says, Lord, in Psalm 150 and verse 6, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And that's, we just did the first paragraph. I got 9 chapters of this stuff when it comes to the names of God. It just goes on and on and on. You don't have to get bored in your prayer life. I'm telling you, you can make a pivot, and it can be the most exciting adventure in your life. And I'm just telling you right now, for me, it's my testimony. There's no other place that I want to be than in the throne room, praising the Lord, worshiping Him. And as I worship Him, as I'm in this position, centering down, as the Puritans would say, I'm now ready to walk. And as I walk with the Lord, I'm now ready to stand. I'm now ready to resist the enemy in your life and in my life. 3 W's. We'll get to the other two some other day. Let's pray. We thank you, Father, for the way you made us. The way you made us is to be contemplated in the way we are to worship. You not only gave us a thinking mechanism, but one in which an imagination, pictures can be created to help us, to center us, to give us a hook, to give us something to hold on to. Not only to live our lives in this everyday world, but in our prayers. In the capacity that you've given us to worship you. Now for that we thank you. But Lord, more than that, help us to use it. Help us to make a pivot in our prayer life, to worship, to walk, and to resist. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.